This is session four and belong. It's entering into the vision. So our key verse is, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall have dreams, which is Acts 2 and 17. And then we have key scriptures that we'll go ahead and read over.
19. Mm-hmm. 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.
All right, 1 John 3:8. There, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work.
John 14:12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father.
Right. John 20:21, and again Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you.
John 17:18, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world.
Okay, so our objective for this lesson was to understand and embrace the vision of God to win souls for his kingdom. So God has always had a vision of redeeming lost humanity back to himself. He sent his Son to the earth to see this vision come to pass. When we became born again, this vision of restoration birthed in the heart of God becomes our vision. We become an integral part of his plan for winning the lost. But if we fail to walk in the divine vision, we fail to fulfill his plan for our lives. So you must understand God's vision for your life. You are called to fulfill the mission of Jesus Christ. The Word of God teaches us the mission of Christ Jesus was twofold: to seek and save that which was lost, which is Luke 19:10, and to destroy the works of the devil, which is 1 John 3:8. Jesus said that we are to do the same works that he did, which is what we read in John 14:12. Just as the Father sent him who sends you into the world. Therefore, you have the same life mission that Jesus had, to seek and save that which is lost and to destroy the works of the devil. You are called to fruitfulness so that you might fulfill Christ's mission. So God's purpose in choosing you is so that your life might be productive for him, John 15:16. And he brought you into relationship with his Son so that you might manifest in your life the same features of fruitfulness that Jesus showed in his life, which was in John 15:5-8. Did we read it that way? Mm-hmm.
All right. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you.
So as you fully appreciate your standing in Christ Jesus, you will be able to live free from the world. Lean, you want to read Romans 7:4?
Mm-hmm. Romans 7:4. So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law, through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God.
And we'll start bringing forth the fruits of righteousness, love, and power. There are 5 areas of fruitfulness that you should be demonstrating in your life as a disciple. You should be growing in your development of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is Galatians 5:22-23.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
So more and more these qualities should be evident in your life. Your mind should become more and more like Christ as you train it to dwell on right thoughts and give access to the Holy Spirit's transforming power. Philippians 4:8-10.
Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
All right, Romans 8:5-8. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so.
Ephesians 4:22-24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupt by its deceitful desires, to remain new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness.
So your deeds should bring honor to God and reflect a commitment to a life of service to God and His people.
All right. Colossians 1:10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God.
You should be using and developing whatever spiritual gifts you have been given.
1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms.
And Romans 12:4-6, it reads, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others.
So you should be fruitful in multiplying disciples, which is Acts 6:7. You are called to support the vision of the house. The term vision of the house refers to the specific vision that God has given the senior pastor of a particular local church. As a member of that local church body, you are to support the vision that God has given your pastor. You are called to fellowship and community within the church and its vision. Acts 2:46-47, please.
Okay, so Acts 2:46-47, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
You are called to walk in one accord with others, having the same mind, which is Philippians 2:2. In this way, there will be no discord in fulfilling the vision. You are part of one body that is called to minister in unity under the anointing of Christ.
All right, 1:33-3. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe.
There are three main enemies that will keep you from entering into the vision. The first is the enemy of fear and discouragement. Joshua 1:8-9. And then 2 Timothy is defined in the first parts.
So we're doing Joshua 1:8-9. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
God has not given you the spirit of fear, intimidation. That is very clear from Scripture. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind, which is 2 Timothy 1:7. If you find yourself fearful about being able to enter into the vision, know that that thought is not from God. It comes from the devil, who would love nothing more than to keep you from being fruitful in the kingdom of God. The enemy will also try to use discouragement to stop you from obtaining what God has promised. However, if you keep your focus on the fact that God is with you, regardless of any circumstance you face, you will persevere. So the second is the enemy of passivity, which is Joshua 1:1-9.
All right. Joshua 1:1-9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will be extended from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, and the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
God commanded Joshua to arise and take possession of the land. Joshua had to put his feet to his faith before he could see God's promise come to pass. If you are passive in your faith, you will never experience all that God has for you. You must assert yourself and act on what God has commanded you to do. Faith without corresponding action is really no faith at all. So James 2 and 26.
26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead.
Okay, and third is the enemy of carnality.
All right, Romans 8, 6 and 7 reads, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so.
A carnal mind is one that is set on things that are worldly. The cares and pleasures of this world are more enticing to the person with a carnal mind than are the things of God. You must set both your heart and mind on things above, not on things beneath.
Colossians 3:1-3, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God.
So in that way, you will guard yourself against carnal thinking and actions subtly infiltrating your life. The vision has a divine heavenly source. I'm going to go back to that because as I said it, this is what popped up. When Brother Anthony was preaching last night, he said, when I have those thoughts that come in, he said, I recognize them. So what he's done is he has listened to God and obeyed God and has trained himself to recognize those things. And I know it stuck out because that's something that I've been asking God to help me to recognize when those things come about, because I don't always recognize it. And so when he spoke that, it resonated in my spirit. And then as we just read this, it was a reminder. So that's how the Holy Spirit works. The vision has a divine heavenly source. The vision originates from the Father.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then 20 and 21 reads, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
The original vision to redeem the lost came from the very heart of God. He is the one who formulated and initiated the divine plan for sending his son Jesus on behalf of the sins of all humanity. His vision is your vision. And just as he sent Jesus into the world, so too does Jesus send you into the world. The vision to win the lost is not a man-made idea. It comes from the Father, the heart of God. So the vision grows and develops as you spend time in the Word of God.
Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
All right, and Psalms 1:1-3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers.
Well, Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ.
So the more you meditate on the word of God, the more he reveals to you how to walk in a lifestyle of fruitfulness. The Word of God will inspire, correct, and challenge you. You will never be fruitful without its preeminence in your life. The Word of God will cause you to be successful in carrying out God's design for your life. It will teach you right standards of conduct and keep your walk with God pure. It will help you humble before Him and aware of your total dependence on Him. So the vision is imparted by the Holy Spirit.
All right, Acts 16:6-9. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phalegra and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So then, King Agrippa, it was not disobedient to the vision from heaven.
Paul acted according to the revelation of the vision that the Holy Spirit gave. His own plans were set aside when the Holy Spirit revealed different plans. This is what you must do too. No idea that you have come up with is better than the Holy Spirit's idea. So ask Him to give you His plan and vision, and then yield to it. Paul was careful to obey the vision as given by the Holy Spirit. He embraced it and then fulfilled it. When you first embrace the vision in your heart and then begin moving in obedience to it, you soon find yourself actually fulfilling it. Okay. So you must actually enter into the vision. So you enter into the vision through the cross.
Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me."
2 Corinthians 5:14-16. But Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer.
The cross is the crux of the Christian message and God's vision for the lost. At the cross, Jesus paid the ultimate price for the sin when he willingly gave himself as a sacrifice. The love that compelled him to such action became yours as you embrace the cross, and its message becomes yours. As a disciple, you are challenged to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. As you live daily in the shadow of the cross, surrendering your own plans to His, you will come to see God's vision for the lost. His vision will become your vision, and His heart will be your heart. So then enter into the vision through prayer.
All right, Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Matthew 9:37-38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
So prayer is two-way communication with God. What God has to say to you is always more important than what you have to say to Him. As you spend time alone with Him, He will begin speaking His vision into your heart. Listen to it and seek it in prayer until it becomes a reality to you. Jesus knew the importance of prayer and thus directed His disciples to pray for workers in the harvest. Unless you are willing to be one of the workers in the harvest field, you will never receive the vision. Ask the Lord to send laborers into the harvest and be willing to be one of them. So then you enter into the vision through obedience.
All right. Mark 1:17 says, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him.
Luke 5:27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting on his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him.
All right, and then Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him."
Jesus issued the call to follow him to specific men he wanted to use in his work. Each one, however, had to make a personal decision to respond. Those who left all and followed him were transformed into vessels for the Lord's service. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. If you trust God, you will obey him. Your obedience is simply a reflection of the faith that is already within you. Grow in faith and obedience to God, and you will grow in His vision. So then, you enter into the vision through unity.
Philippians 2:1-2, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in His Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind.
When you walk in unity and fellowship with others, you will accomplish greater things for God than you could ever accomplish alone. Your effectiveness is multiplied many times over. You need others, and they need you too. By walking in unity, you walk in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring you into a life of fruitfulness and anointing. Okay, so our summary is, what a glorious vision God has given us. There is no greater honor than being allowed to be part of His vision to redeem the souls of men. Jesus, of course, paid the price that made redemption possible. But we have a part to play in the process of winning the lost to Him. We must first embrace the vision within our hearts, then move in faith and obedience to walking out the vision on a daily basis. We cannot afford to get distracted with worldly pursuits or to be crippled with fear and discouragement. We are called to be active, bold participants in the divine plan of redemption.